You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
How's everybody doing this morning? So excited to be here with you guys today. Had a great time reminiscing with Pastor Gabriel. We did Master's Commission together, and just a great time spending with him. And it's so good to see Catherine here. Did a master's commission with her. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything. So. But it's been a great time. And just, I'm excited to be here with you guys. And now, Rocky has always been one of my favorite little series. I hope you like it too. If not, then you're going to like it after this. Hopefully, or be tired of it. But I remember when I was in elementary school, screaming at the screen, going, Rocky, Rocky. And then I repeated it in junior high.
Yep.
And then in high school. And then into adulthood. I mean, this series has lasted a very long time. In fact, I even heard Sylvester Stallone is making a brand new boxing movie. I think he's 65, 66 years old. But hey, I hope I look that good when I'm... but I don't use roids, so... But anyway, but the Rocky franchise started way back in 1976. How many of you were alive back then, 76? And you guys are so old. I was 3 years old in 1976, but I remember being so excited about it. And Rocky, if you'll remember, in Rocky I, Rocky was basically, he was a nobody. I mean, nobody believed in him. He didn't even believe in himself. I mean, he lived in a dingy one-room apartment with his best friends were two turtles named Cuff and Link.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Polly, which Polly, you know, wasn't the greatest friend in the world. But he had a dream that he wanted to do, and his dream was to go the distance, to prove that he wasn't just another bum in the neighborhood, and to win the love of his girl, Adrienne. And maybe some people might say, well, that's not much of a dream, but at least it was a dream. He had a dream, and a lot of people, a lot of you have dreams that maybe you've even started to give up on because of the circumstances in life. I mean, look at Rocky. He was in Rocky I. I think he was supposed to be around in his late 30s, a time when boxers should be giving up. And he was just getting into it, and he was losing just about every fight that he had at that time. In fact, no one really believed in him. But then all of a sudden, he's given this dream shot at the heavyweight championship. Basically, the heavyweight champion, Apollo Creed, was doing a publicity contest, a publicity thing. And he just randomly picked a boxer out of the crowd. Really, he picked Rocky because he liked his nickname, the Italian Stallion. He thought, this would be cool. This will be cool. And so he gets this chance, and it sparks that dream that's inside of him that, hey, maybe I can have a shot. Maybe I can do this. And up until this time, again, nobody believed in him. In fact, his coach, Mickey, at this time had given his locker away to somebody else who he said, I'm going to give it to someone who has some possibilities. And so no one believes in him. Part one, we see that because this dream starts to spark back up, that hope starts to rise again, his dreams help him to face the impossible. And he does it, and people start to believe in him, but he doesn't stop dreaming right then. See, the problem with a lot of Christians, a lot of people, is once we see some of that dream come true, or we see that dream hit an obstacle or a roadblock, then we give up on those dreams and we stop dreaming altogether. It reminds me of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. It says that Joseph had a dream. But then when you go down to verse 9, it said, then he had another dream. And I think it's important, especially for Christians, that we continue to dream. As long as we have breath inside of us, continue to dream those God type of dreams and allow God to do things in our lives. So part two, we see Rocky go on and he gets to fight again and he defeats Apollo Creed this time, becomes the heavyweight champion of the world. But he doesn't stop dreaming then. Part three, he becomes a little settled into his position. He becomes, we'll just say, comfortable with his dream. And so he goes, my favorite in the whole series, he goes to fight Mr. T, Clubber Lang. Yeah. And unfortunately, because of the circumstances that were going on at his time and because he had become comfortable in his dream, he becomes defeated. In fact, Mickey even says this before he's going out to fight. He said, you was hard and you was nasty and you had this cast iron jaw, but then the worst thing happened to you that could happen to any fighter. You got civilized. You got civilized. And that happens to so many of us as we become civilized. We become comfortable. We give up. And so Rocky does this, but then he gets the eye of the tiger back. Starts to dream again. Gets back in the ring and fights again. Part four, we see Rocky fighting the Cold War. He's fighting the Russian Ivan Drago. And then part five, the worst. I almost just want to even skip over this one. Rocky basically loses everything. Comes to a place where he lost everything, but there was still some stuff down in the basement. Still some unfulfilled dreams. And in part six, we see Stallone, who was 60 at the time, playing a 50-something-year-old Rocky Balboa. And at this time, again, he's come back to where he's a nobody. Nobody believes in him anymore. He's kind of a memory of the past. His wife has died. He's a small-time restaurant owner who's just basically just given up. Now, although Pauly isn't the most encouraging guy in the world, even he sees something in Rocky that's going on. He says, Rocky, you're living life backwards. You're stuck in the past. You know, sometimes life comes at us so fast, it catches us off guards. We thought we were ready, but then we find ourselves becoming civilized, becoming stuck, feeling like we've been forgotten. And I think that's where Rocky was. And maybe we find ourselves in that moment where we just feel, where we're overwhelmed. This happened to me this week. I felt overwhelmed yesterday. On my way here, my car breaks down. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to get here. I had to call Pastor Gabriel to come get me. I mean, it's just that it can hit you at any moment. Just that life overwhelms and we feel forgotten. And I think that Solomon had gone through some of the same things that Rocky had. In fact, many years before, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, Solomon says, I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And basically, he's saying, what good is everything that I did? And notice what he says, and maybe your life situations, you feel like this, you feel the weight of unachieved dreams, or like Rocky was going through. Maybe you're smiling on the outside, but on the inside, you would echo what Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17, where he said, so I hated life. I hated life. Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous, which really it means depressing. My life had become depressing. I hated it. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And you can see that echoed in just the emotion that Rocky's showing, where he's just depressed. He's living life in the past. And why? He's retelling the stories. He's reliving the stories. He's always looking towards the past because that's the last time he was happy. That's the last time he felt important. The last time he felt like he really mattered. He just wants to go back to that past. And we have life come at us some hard. I mean, if you've ever, maybe you've had something that you were so excited about, and then when it came about, it didn't happen like you thought it would. And you find yourself getting angry or depressed. It's a disappointment. And it's so easy. Because all the expectations that you have set up, and they don't happen the way that you think, you become grievous, you become depressed, just like Rocky was. And I think that what happens is then we find ourselves going through life trying to give ourselves, as Solomon said, anything that our life, that our eyes desire, trying to fulfill that space with anything. I mean, think of some of you, maybe you've tried everything. Maybe to fill that space, you've tried new jobs, you've tried new spouses, you've tried vacations, you've tried drugs, alcohol, sex, you've tried anything, and then when you come to the end of it, you found yourself still grievous, depressed, and you find yourself hating life. And here's King Solomon, who basically had everything in life that you could want, according to the world standards. I mean, he had... He was the richest guy in the world. He was the wisest guy in the world. Basically, if he thought some girl was pretty, he just married her. And yet here he is, and he's saying, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. And then he says this, and don't miss this, because this is why it was meaningless. He says, they chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. See, most of us, we go through life trying to become satisfied, trying to become happy, trying to have it all. But then we become depressed because we're so focused on what's right here, what's under the sun, our jobs, our relationships, our finances. All the right here, right now stuff. And here's Rocky or Solomon, and he's saying, it's become grievous. My life has become depressing, a chasing after the wind. Rocky has a dream that nobody believes in. And we see the spark inside of him for the future, but no one wants to listen. And here are a few things that I think were going on in Rocky's life that maybe you're going through right now. Like number one, Rocky was frustrated. He was frustrated. Maybe you are right now. He was saying, I still have some stuff down inside of the basement, in the basement. And he was frustrated with where life had taken him. And maybe right now you're just frustrated with what's going on in your life, with where life has taken you. And it comes out maybe in the area of anger. I mean, you might find yourself sometimes just being angry and you don't even know why you're angry. I mean, Rocky said it this way. He said, sometimes it's hard to breathe. I feel like there's a beast inside of me. I think Solomon said it this way in Ecclesiastes 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, it's useless. Useless, said the philosopher. Life is useless. You spend your life working and laboring, and what do you have to show for it? I mean, listen to the frustration here. He says, generations come and generations go, but the world stays just the same. I mean, Rocky wanted to live again. He's tired of being frustrated. He's looking for help. And his son tells him, this will pass. His best friend says, haven't you peaked yet? The boxing commission says, hey, buddy, you're too old. But he still has a dream. And look what else Solomon was going through, and I believe that Rocky was going. Maybe you're going through this. I hear people say this all the time. Number two was, he was tired. He was just tired. Tired of standing still. Tired of being told no. Tired of doing nothing. And sometimes when you get to a point where something has gone wrong, you just feel just tired with life. And he was going through this. In fact, Business Week, they did a survey. And now the number one response to the question of how are you doing, it used to be, I'm fine. Now it's, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm just busy. In fact, they labeled us the decade or the generation of fatigue because we're overworked, we're overwhelmed, and we're just tired. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 5 through 8, Solomon says it this way. He said, the sun still rises and it's still going down, going wearily back to where it must start all over again. The wind blows south and the wind blows north, round and round and back again, and every river flows into the sea, but the sea is not yet full. The water returns to where the rivers began and starts all over again, and everything leads to a weariness too great for words. Our eyes can never see enough to be satisfied. Our ears can never hear enough. That term, a weariness too great for words. Basically, I think if Solomon were alive today, he would say it maybe like this. He would say, Monday morning, I wake up, I go to work. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I have to work on the yard. Sunday, I go to church. And then Monday, I wake up, I go to work. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I work on the yard. Sunday, I go to work. And it becomes a cycle in our life. I worked construction for a few years, and we had this project in Memphis, Tennessee that we had to do. And basically, for about a four-month period, I was working 80 to 90-hour weeks. And I hated it. And I was grievous and depressed and tired. Basically, what I did was I woke up, I went to work, I came home, went to sleep, got up, went to work. I mean, I did that for a four-month period. And I couldn't even get any rest when I slept because I dreamed of work. And I was just tired. It becomes your life. Another thing that was going on in Rocky's life that maybe is going on in your life is he was unfulfilled. Number three, he was unfulfilled. And maybe you're here right now. What you thought would fulfill you, would satisfy you, isn't. And Rocky's saying, maybe you have something that you want to do and everybody keeps telling you no. And he feels this burning dream down deep inside, but has no way to let it out. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:8-9, he says, everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. Nothing under the sun is even truly new. Basically, he's saying, I'm unfulfilled. I'm never fulfilled. And no matter what it is that I do, it doesn't seem to work. And everything just seems to go wrong. You know, I was having a little pity party when my car broke down yesterday. I was like, come on, can't I catch a break? And we have little things. I mean, you can wake up in a great mood and then you stub your toe and then it's like, come on, God, really? You know, we find ourselves getting mad at God so easy, and really it's because we feel unsatisfied. We become unfulfilled. And so the question is, so how do we get out of this cycle? How do we get from where we're feeling frustrated, where we're feeling tired and unfulfilled? And the answer is we do what Rocky did. We get back in the ring. We get back in the fight. You see, we dream again. We focus on the eternal. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, this guy was basically the exact opposite of Solomon. If Solomon was like the poster child for the life that you would want according to the world standards, then Paul was the poster child for the life that you would not want according to the worldly standards. I mean, Solomon, he was in a palace and he had all the wives that he wanted, all the money that he wanted. He had basically anything. Paul, everywhere he went, he got beaten up. He was thrown in prison. He was whipped. In fact, the 40 lashes that Jesus received, he received them 5 times. He was shipwrecked. He was stranded in an open sea, floating around for a night. I mean, he had it bad. He was stoned. And not like hippie stone, but like rocks upside your head stone. But then, although all that was going on in his life, he was able to say this. Chapter 4, verse 16-18, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. I mean, wouldn't you love to be able to say, no matter what people say about you, no matter what your finances do, no matter what your kids do, no matter what is going on, that you would be able to say, I do not lose heart. Yeah. Come on. You know, I don't know about you, my kids embarrass me all the time. Especially my daughter. She's 6 years old, now about to turn 7. And she has absolutely no filter. And so we went to a Walmart one time, and there was a young lady there, and she just had short hair, and Ava looked at her and said, are you a boy or a girl? And I was just like, oh, God, please, just stop talking. You know, but no matter what your kids do, no matter what your finances do, you do not lose heart. And so Rocky, at this point in the movie, he gets this opportunity because someone hears about what's going on and they want to give him a chance to do like a little charity bout. And that spark, that dream starts to come more. Rocky says, the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And it'll beat you down. Paul said it like this in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Although outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles. And I think we can all say that being whipped 5 different times and stoned and thrown in prison, that wasn't really a light and momentary trouble. But he could say that because of the way that he looked at this. He said, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See, Paul was showing us basically that the answer to solving your problems isn't really in solving your problems. It's in finding something that is bigger than your problems to focus on. To focus on the eternal. See, Paul had just as many problems in your life, if not more, but he was able to say, I have something in my life that far outweighs those problems. And instead of just trying to fix everything all the time, find something bigger than those problems and focus on the eternal. Yeah. Verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Eternal. Instead of living with our eyes focused on everything that is here under the sun, what if we lived our life focused on the eternal? It would far outweigh what we were going through, and we would start remembering the truth that Rocky finds out, that fighters fight. This is what we're supposed to do. And so how do we do that? How do we get back in the ring? Well, we've got to train. We've got to train, and to do that, we've got to have blunt force trauma. See, Rocky didn't even win the fight, but it didn't matter because he started to dream again. He started to live again, and I think that's what some people need to start doing in their lives. And real quickly, the way that you do that is that you drill the basics. The basics are this. Number one is your jab, which is your prayer life. We need to have a relationship with Jesus where we're praying, where we're having that focus is not so much on what's going on here, but focus on what's going up there with Him. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It would happen to David all the time. Read the Psalms. He starts out the Psalms and he's starts so many of them out going, God, where are you? Well, woe is me. I hate my life. My enemies are all around me. But by the end of it, he's going, God, you're so awesome. You've never forsaken me. And the reason he goes from A to B is because he stops thinking of what's going on here under the sun and starts focusing on the eternal. Reminds me of the father that took his son to Disney World for the first time. He was so excited, couldn't wait. He was even more excited than the son was. And then he gets in line for Pirates of the Caribbean. He can't wait. He's so excited. And he looks down and the son is just miserable. He's just standing there going, oh, Dad, can we go home? And he's like, what's wrong with my son? I'm so excited. Doesn't he understand? And so he gets down on his level, and he can't see where he's going. All he sees is the rear ends of the people in front of him. And so he picks his son up and puts him on his shoulder so he can see where he's headed, and then he starts to get excited. We got a lot of rear ends around us. Don't focus on them. Focus on where you're headed, amen? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Part two is it's your hook, and that's serving. It's serving. Serving is one of the best ways to be eternally focused because you stop thinking of yourself so much and start thinking of others. So get involved. Get involved in ministry. Go on a missions trip. Get involved in a small group. Start a small group. John chapter 6 verse 27 says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Our third thing would be your uppercut. And that's in giving. This is one of the greatest ways to get your mind off of the now and fix it on the eternal. They say you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Psalms 112 verse 9 says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. And when I say give, I'm not talking about tithing, because tithing isn't really giving. Tithing is returning to God. Giving is what you do above and beyond tithe, and not just with your finances, but with your entire life. We need to live generous lives. Let's be more eternally minded with our pray, with our serve, with our give. And lastly, the knockout is in sharing Christ with other people. In Master's Commission, we always used to say to know Jesus Christ and to make Him known. And that should be the motto of our life. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And maybe you're in here today and it's time for you to get back in the ring. It's time for you to get back in the If everybody can bow your heads and close your eyes.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.